Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started. You can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Hannah Rosner. I mostly write for television.
I'm Jess Cho. I also mostly write for television.
And I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features. And I am super excited to say that for this episode and for our next couple episodes, we're going to be talking about TV fellowship programs, how to apply, why to apply, what are they? And I am so lucky because not one, but two of my co-hosts are graduates of TV fellowship programs. So we're going to get awesome perspectives. All of my burning questions will be answered. And I assume, listeners, that you have burning questions too, since fellowships are, they get so many applications and so many people applying. So you can get a leg up just by listening to Hannah and Jess talk about how to do it and why to do it. So I'm like crazy excited.
I have a really poor attempt at a dad joke coming at you. So
okay, girding my loins.
If you graduate from a fellowship, then you're a fellow. But like, if you're really cool like me and Jess and you graduate from a fellowship, are you a fella? Like, are Jess and I fellas?
Okay, Hannah, it's been great having you on this podcast. We're going to need a new co-host.
Yes, I'm afraid we can no longer associate with you. Please gather up your things and get off the island.
The tribe has spoken, Hannah.
I've been on script all week, so I've been away from my writer's room, and usually I subject them to my really bad jokes, and I've just been starved of that experience all week, so I had to. Sorry. I apologize to everyone.
So fellowships, just in case our listeners don't even know about TV writing fellowships, can you guys just give a very basic definition? What is a TV fellowship?
So a TV fellowship is a program that certain networks or studios will put on. A lot of the fellowships are sort of a gateway between when you're an emerging writer and you're trying to break in, and maybe you're working in the industry as an assistant, or maybe you're just writing your own stuff and you want to get staffed. They're a training program as you attempt to sharpen your skills, not just with writing, but breaking into the industry, getting yourself into writing rooms. That's sort of the overview, what the fellowships are all about.
Hannah, when you described the fellowships as a gateway, I think that's an excellent description of them. The networks really created these programs as a way for writers who are underrepresented in a lot of writer rooms to have access to those rooms by providing advice and training and mentorship. And so for a lot of these programs, it's really about finding diverse voices, finding people from underrepresented groups, and they can be a great way to get your foot in the door.
So some of the ones I know off the top of my head, obviously there's Warner Brothers, which you did, Hannah. There's the CBS Fellowship, which you did, Jess. I know that is, I think NBC has one, Writers on the Verge. Nickelodeon has one. HBO has one.
Fox has one.
They're all, you know, around the same time. So we're going to kind of talk to you guys about how best to apply for them. So you can use this for all the different fellowships that you find. I guess let's start off with the why of it all, right? Like, should you being me or any listener, apply for fellowships?
I would encourage any writer at any level, if you have the material that they're asking for, or if you plan to write the material that they're asking for by the deadline, to go for it, because they can be a really fantastic training ground. And even if you don't get in, because it's very, very competitive. I think the year that I applied, there were like 2,000 applicants and only 8 people get into the Warner Brothers workshop. So it's extremely competitive, but the skills that you learn, everything from writing your spec by your deadline to practicing your interview skills to writing your essays and a biography, all of that stuff, it is so incredibly helpful to do that and hone those skills, because it'll just get easier each year. I know somebody that applied 9 times before they got in. So that's dedication right there. But each time they did, they were a better writer and they were closer to being ready. That said, I wouldn't say apply for fellowships if you really are just starting out, because you have to think of the programs as a job application for the show, a show that you want to write on that network or studio produces. So for example, Warner Brothers produces, you know, they can sell to any studio. So they have shows on CW, they have shows for HBO Max, obviously. So I wouldn't, obviously that really runs the gamut, but if you don't want to work on any of those shows that they produce, then you probably shouldn't apply. And if you don't think that you would be ready coming out of this program to staff on a show, then maybe hold off a year or two until you feel like you're ready.
That makes a lot of sense.
Wasn't there like a whole Twitter argument recently where someone's like, I wouldn't staff in a network show if they
people be dumb.
I don't know. I think that was, sidebar real quick. I feel like that was one of those things where I'm not sure that there was actually anyone who ever said that, but rather like a backlash to the backlash of like people chiming in on whoever said that. But I don't know what, I don't know if we ever got to the bottom of like somebody actually said this.
I have heard people say that, right? It is one of those things of like writers tend to look down on broadcast TV for writing, which I think is really silly because for one, that's where still most of the jobs are. And for two, like a broadcast show can be as great as you make it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just this weird hierarchy that writers have created for themselves.
And also on a broadcast show, you are more likely to be sent to set and get that sort of very special set experience as opposed to being on a like streaming platform. So you can get valuable experience on a broadcast, on any show really. But yeah, I agree with most of what you said, Hannah, except for the part about not applying just when you're starting out, because that's what I did. And it worked out.
Well, we can't all be as talented as you, Jess.
That's not what I'm saying. I was very, very lucky. Like, first of all, I was pretty sure I was waitlisted, so I didn't even get in outright. It was someone else who got into the program, decided to go somewhere else. And so then they let me in. So full disclosure there. But yeah, everyone else in my program had either applied multiple times or they had made like a mid-career shift. We had a lawyer and a surgeon.
Wow, you guys were set in case of a medical emergency.
Exactly. And so if you have one of those skill sets coming from another career, like having a law degree or a medical degree, that actually makes you easier to get staffed on certain types of shows, right? And so I think those people applying for their first time, perhaps it wasn't as much of a gamble.
Is there any harm in applying to a fellowship a bunch of times? Because it doesn't seem like they ever hold it against you. You know, like you're...
No.
Yeah. So
no,
you could start
so.
Before you even are totally ready and just keep applying every year, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was planning on doing because I applied while I was still in graduate school. And I was like, well, I'm graduating at the end, halfway through this year. And then the fellowships start a few months later. So I'll just see if I can get in anywhere. Like Hannah said, don't apply to a fellowship if you don't want to work on the shows on that particular network. And my attitude was just apply for everything and hope that even one of them takes me.
That was mine as well. And I think that generally probably should be everyone's because you just should take whatever opportunity you can get, really. But, you know, if your attitude is, I'm not sure I want to work on a CBS show ever, or I don't like kids shows, you probably shouldn't apply for Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Like, that was one that came to mind for me is like, if you don't want to write, like, you know, whether or not you want to write Nickelodeon shows, you know?
Yeah.
And I have heard of people who took that fellowship and regretted it because it wasn't what they wanted to do. But yeah, it sounds like in general, you should apply. It's really good experience. The application itself might help you become a better writer. Can you guys talk maybe a little bit about how placing in the fellowship programs can help or even maybe hinder your career in some ways, probably mostly help.
The only thing I can think of that would hinder in some way is if, again, you know, this happens very rarely, but if you say get into a program and then you get staffed on a show right away and you have to leave the program, it really, really depends, but it can kind of maybe leave a bad taste in the mouth of the execs that like took a chance on you. And, you know, which again, it's like, if you get staffed on a show, like go with God, that's awesome. Just, you got to do what you got to do. But that's like the only thing I've ever heard of where it's like, you know, you kind of like this studio invested in you and then you left for another studio. Maybe that can come back around someday, but it's very rare and it's not necessarily something to worry about. It's just something that occasionally happens. Other than that, it can really only help because placing in a fellowship automatically helps you. You can get more meetings based on just simply the fact that you're saying I'm in, or I graduated from a fellowship program. So you have obviously the experience and the wealth of knowledge that you get out of it that helps you prepare to work in a writer's room and just be prepared for the kinds of deadlines and the kinds of assignments that you're going to get when you start actually working in television. And it can help you get exposure to reps and to agents and managers and executives. So it's really helpful in so many ways. It just really opens a lot of doors for you in general.
I kind of think of at least my time in the fellowship as getting a chance to really peek behind the curtain, if you will, because I came in pretty fresh and I didn't know anything about the industry. And then suddenly to be told, here's what people are talking about when they say these things, this is how things work. This is how you should conduct yourself, and this is how you can present yourself in the best possible light. All those things are so important because it basically signals to everyone else that you know what you're doing. And the other great thing about the fellowship is, as Hannah pointed out, they're really hard to get into. But once you're in, it is a signal to everyone else who's already in the business, oh, they already passed this major hurdle. I can take a chance on them too. It's not as much of a risk. I met my manager through the program, and I got staffed on my first show through the program. And really, it was because people were like, oh, well, if she was good enough to get into the program, she might be good enough to be my client / work on my show.
It helps build your momentum and get you buzz. And, you know, like if Warner Brothers says you're a good writer, like who is anyone else to disagree? You know, so we've said you should apply to fellowships. So like, what do people need to actually apply? Like, I know I've heard the application process is intense. What do you need? Like, what are the boxes you need to tick before you know you're ready?
To apply to most programs, you need a spec episode. You need a pilot, which is technically a spec pilot because no one paid you to write it, but it's not the same as a spec episode. You need 1 to 2 scripts. Generally, you should have a spec and a pilot. And then you also will need a bio, most likely. You may not necessarily need to submit it, but it's always good to have one because they might just say, oh, so tell us more about yourself. And you have a little bio ready for them. And then the essay, which we're going to do another episode about, all about essays. But those are the 4 things you need. And then every place will ask for something different. So you have to look at the website, the fellowship website, and see what they require. They will ask for some sort of essay, written document. And that's either a personal story or a statement of interest, or they'll ask a question. They'll give you a prompt and then you have to respond. I think NBC Universal does that. And then the last thing that's really helpful is a recommendation. It's not a requirement, but if you know a showrunner, if you know, especially somebody who has a connection at the studio where you're applying, where the fellowship is, that can be incredibly helpful as well, but it's not required and it's not always necessary.
I guess when it comes to what do you need, it would be helpful to have something of a portfolio. So you don't want just to have 1 spec, 1 pilot and you're raring to go. Because I know other fellowships like the Disney Fellowship, they have multiple rounds of getting through the process. And I remember I got through to the 2nd round. They've called me and they asked me a bunch of questions. And I wasn't prepared.
What kind of questions?
One of the questions was like one of those weird interview questions. Tell us about a time when you were at a disadvantage and then you used your strength to succeed. Something like that.
And you explained you have no weaknesses.
Yes, exactly. I said, I am freaking Achilles.
I'm perfect.
Don't mess with me. But they also said it wasn't enough to answer the question. I had to tell my answer in a story. And I was like, I don't have a story on hand. And then basically... And then they were basically like, okay, bye. And I was done with that. My teacher at UT, she actually went through the same program. She applied multiple times and went through multiple rounds. And by the time she got in, it was because she'd figured out this question was coming. And so she took the time to prepare a story to tell orally when she got the phone call.
Okay, so be prepared to answer really weird questions in story form. Got it.
Yes, but also sometimes they ask for a second spec.
Yes, I have heard about her. I know at least one person who was not prepared and literally wrote their second spec in like a week so they could submit it.
That's impressive.
That's very impressive. I don't think I would have been able to do that in a week.
I don't think most people could do that. And also you just don't want to find yourself in that position.
Exactly. So that's why I mean have a bit of a portfolio in case they ask for additional material, because you don't want to be like, oh God, I have 3 days to write and do pilot.
So, you know, like a lot of us have day jobs or are working as assistants while doing this. Like, how did you guys put together like these portfolios while still, you know, first of all, you probably did multiple of them each year. And then you had your lives and your jobs. Like, how did you kind of manage your time?
So the first year that I only applied 2 years in a row, and the first year I applied, it wasn't that big of a deal because I was an assistant, but I had some time in the morning to work on my pilot and my spec. But I wanted to be a comedy writer and I wasn't funny and I didn't get in. But then the next year I was like, I'm not funny. I should try drama. And I wrote a drama pilot, and I kind of just took it a lot more seriously that year. And so I really had to carve out the time to write on the side. But I had just, I think that was the year that I stopped working for Zach. So I had started writing a pilot earlier that year, and I had taken a writing class so that I would, you know, get it done by the deadline. So that was already done. I had that under my belt. And then as far as writing the spec and doing everything else that was required, again, I actually took a writing class at Script Anatomy, and that helped me plan out and manage my time and have those deadlines. And so I actually wrote my Handmaid's Tale spec that was required for the fellowship program over the Christmas break. So it was hard. I didn't have a lot of time because I was working at that point. I was working in a writer's room. Once I got into the fellowship, that was a little harder to manage my time because I had a day job and I was working from 9 to 5, but it was a pretty easy room. So I didn't have to stay late very often to do notes, but it can be really hard to juggle your time, whether you're applying or you're actually in a fellowship program.
For me, it was a little bit easier, I think, because I was in the grad program for screenwriting at the time when I applied. And so even though I was teaching courses at the same time for undergraduates, all the scripts that I submitted to the fellowship were ones that I had written and workshopped in my program. And so then it was just a question of doing all the essays and all the prompts.
I meant to say that before about don't just think about scheduling your time to write your specs. You really need to schedule time to write your essays as well. I would say that the essay writing process for me took just as long, if not longer. Somehow writing a 60-page screenplay was not as difficult as writing a 1-page paper about me and my life and who I am as a writer. But like, that's the kind of thing that don't just think, okay, I just have to get my spec done by May 1st or whatever the deadline is. Get your spec done by March or something so that you can A, have friends read it and workshop it, you know, have people give you notes and feedback and just polish the shit out of it. But also make sure you leave yourself time to work on those essays and those bios and whatever Q&As they may have.
First of all, a lot of the people who are applying to these programs, they can all write scripts. They're all technically proficient writers. And so the way to really differentiate yourself, unless you're, say, Vince Gilligan or Damon Lindelof, is to sell yourself. You can't find anyone like me anywhere else. And that's where the essays come in. But we'll talk about that in another episode.
So we talked about this a little bit, but does anyone have a list of which studios and networks have programs?
I do. And I'm going to share some links on our page, if I remember, when we post this on our anchor page. But like, there's the WGA has a list, which is actually much more comprehensive because it's fellowship programs and screenplay competitions. But so there's the Sundance Episodic Story Lab. That's not technically a studio fellowship program, but that is a diversity program that has a different timeline than the rest of these. So the big 4 or 5 or whatever studio programs are Disney, ABC, NBC Writers on the Verge, CBS, and Fox, which is now called Fox Audience Strategy. I'm not even sure that this one still exists. You guys might have to look that up. I don't know if this is the same, but that one is, I think, harder to get into because you need showrunner recommendation. And then there's Warner Brothers Writers Workshop, Nickelodeon Writing Fellowship, and there's a new one, I guess, the DC Comics Talent Development Workshop, which is like if your goal is to write on a DC Comics series, that's a good one to aim for. And then it's not HBO Access anymore. It's like Warner Media Access now. That was formerly the HBO Access one.
I remember the first year they did the HBO one. Everyone was so excited. They just like shut down the site. They had done a poor job. It was like, you have 1 hour to submit on this day. And everyone, and they were like, oh, we didn't expect, you know, this many people. And everyone's like, it's a writing fellowship at HBO. Like, what did you think was going to happen? Yeah. So whenabouts are the deadlines? I know that they fall around the same time for the most part.
Yeah. Some of them are different, but the main studio ones, the NBC, CBS, ABC, blah, 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 WB, all the Bs, those are mostly, I think, open in early May or April, and then end most of them end either like May 31st or June 1st. So fellowship season, we're in it, guys. It's fellowship season.
Well, we've touched on this a little bit, but let's talk about recommendations, because I think this is probably something that intimidates a lot of people. And again, I think Hannah, you said like some of these don't require recommendations, and obviously that levels the playing field a little bit for like, say, someone who's an amazing writer who lives in Iowa and isn't friends with showrunners. But How did you guys go about getting recommendations if you got them? Like, who did you reach out to and how did you ask?
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I don't think this is by no means the sole reason I got in, but I'm sure it helped because I worked for Zach at the time that he was writing a Warner Brothers movie. He had just written Ready Player One. But that said, he didn't have like a direct connection to somebody in the program, which can also be helpful. So you don't necessarily need to know this huge fancy screenwriter. You can just, you know, if you know somebody that was in a workshop or in a fellowship program before that you're applying to, you can ask them to put in a good word for you. And the way to do that is, you know, be polite and refer to our episode about, you know, how to talk to mentors and networking and connections, but politely and with enough time, do not ask them like the day before you're planning to apply to send you an email. And especially do it as early as possible because they're going to get a lot of other recommendations and you kind of want to be one of the first so that they remember you and you get to the top of the pile. The thing about recommendations is, again, because there's so many people applying, it's really hard to get your script to the top of the pile. One thing that can help do that, because even if your script is great, a lot of the scripts are great. One thing that can help do that is a killer essay. And another thing that can help is a recommendation. So pretty much call in all the favors. Don't just stop with one. If you know somebody that did a fellowship and you know a showrunner that has a deal at that studio, reach out to both of them and say, hey, I'm applying for the fellowship. Like, would you be willing to put in a good word for me? I'd really appreciate it. And also, if it's somebody pretty big and therefore very busy, this happens all the time. Like, somebody might say, like, I'm really swamped right now. Can you write the letter?
Yeah, this
and
is common.
This happens all the time. This is not a special thing. Like, they'll say, can you write your letter of recommendation and I will send it for you?
Yeah, I'll sign it or I'll tweak it or whatever.
But yeah, obviously make it sound like the person wrote it and not like, oh my God, this writer is just the best. And if it's been a while, the last thing I'll say, if it's been a while since you worked with this person, say they, you were their assistant, but that was like 4 years ago and they've since had eight, remind them what projects you worked on together specifically so that they can say, oh, they worked for me on this project and they helped me with this specific thing. They helped me with my treatment. They put a lookbook together, whatever, just so that the more specific you can be about your recommendation. So it's not just like, they're great. Awesome person. Good writer. I mean, hopefully they've read your stuff so they can actually vouch for your writing skills as well.
I have feelings about the recommendations because it seems so unfair. Let's say you are that writer in Iowa. You're not going to get a recommendation from, you know, the head of the production company or a screenwriter or a showrunner because you just don't have those connections. That being said, one of my friends did this when she applied to the fellowship. She got an internship at a production company. Like, she moved to LA and got an internship where she worked a few hours a week just in the afternoons for free, just, you know, making copies and stuff. And that was enough to get her boss to basically sign a letter of recommendation that she wrote for herself. And that was enough.
Social media has leveled that playing field a little bit, you know, which is nice. Like, you can meet other writers on Twitter. Sometimes writers, big writers, read on Twitter, stuff like that. So, like, those have become more legitimate connections. But, Jess, I totally agree. Like, obviously, like, I want the amazing writer in Iowa to have the same chance as someone who's, you know, a showrunner's assistant out here. It doesn't always work that way, unfortunately. And I would say it sounds like this is definitely a thing. Ask now, like right now, because I'm sure any showrunner who is the kind of person who helps, you know, younger or emerging writers, they do that for a lot of people, you know, so they're going to get that request a lot usually. And it's really good practice to write a recommendation letter for yourself and identify your strengths, you know, like I can see how that would be a very good experience, but one that writers might be kind of terrified of.
And I will say too, I agree with Jess in the sense that it is unfair. As in general, it's not fair that there should, you know, be a leg up for anyone just because they worked in the industry. But from the point of view of the program, because I spent a lot of time talking to the people who put on the Warner Brothers program, there's so much to you getting into a fellowship that is not just about your writing. And if you have a recommendation from someone that can vouch for you, think about the studio as they want to hire you someday. They want to groom you. They want you to be a writer that goes on to run shows for their studio. And so if you are an amazing writer and on the page, you're awesome. And even your essays are great, but they don't necessarily know if you how you are to work with, that just really helps them feel, if they get a letter of recommendation from someone who is a working writer or producer in the industry who can vouch for you as somebody that's, you know, kind and a hard worker and all these things, then that just makes them feel more comfortable that the person that they're taking, you know, is somebody that they can trust to get staffed. And so that being said, though, it's not a requirement, and it doesn't always help. I know plenty of people who have asked for showrunner recommendations and gotten them, and they still didn't get in because their writing wasn't as strong as the writer from Iowa who has no connections. The writing 100% is the most important thing. So even though other things are very important, your sample is your ticket into the program.
Your sample's the meat. Your recommendation is the gravy. And like, good gravy is great, but it's not going to make up for bad meat.
Yes, exactly.
That's great, guys.
That's great.
You go have a snack. I wish, you know, like if back in the day when I was applying for fellowships, I had been able to listen to this, you know, this is awesome.
Yeah. And there's some really great workshops out there too. Again, I'm going to plug Script Anatomy because I've taken, I think, 3 classes there and multiple workshops, and they're fantastic. Around fellowship season, they'll do workshops and panels all about fellowships, how to write a great essay, how to write a bio, how to interview, things like that. That can be really helpful as well.
Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale, and you connect with us there. Or you can email us. We're at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. And if you have a second, if you wouldn't mind rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. We can get more people in the Untitled Female Driven community. So in the meantime, stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye. Until next time.